Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the first week I've had my microphone ready to go on time. I'm so proud of myself. I'd like to draw your attention to a lovely, showing mom and dad over there, a lovely local magazine called Dalton Living, if any of you are familiar with it. And we have this handsome young man on there in a beautiful theater. And this is our very own Ellis Stevens. So I encourage you to go around town. I have just been informed there is a page in the magazine, since I'm new to town, that tells you where you can go and find a copy. It's on page 39. So we have a few of these floating around this morning. Please go find yourself a copy. It's a wonderful article about all the incredible things that he is doing at Dalton High School and at the Dalton Little Theater. So go pick one up. This afternoon, I will be officially installed as your pastor. And I am so excited to see a slightly smaller crowd this morning, because asking for two Sunday sermons in one day is a lot. But especially those of you that have children, I encourage you to also come this afternoon if you can manage it. One of my good friends, who is the associate pastor in Decatur Presbyterian, she is in charge of children's ministries, and she will be doing a children's moment as part of our afternoon service. And so I encourage those of you that are here, come back. And those of you who aren't here, who may or may not be watching from home, come on over this afternoon. It'll be wonderful. Following the service this afternoon, we will have a light reception in the Martin House, and I very much look forward to that. And as I told Haejong before her wedding, I hope that this afternoon will be a little different than my wedding, where I got to eat half a meatball and one grape. So I'm very much looking forward to actually putting food in my mouth at this reception, but that is not an encouragement not to speak to me later. Our Monday morning prayer group has resumed, and we have changed our location since I last spoke with you. We decided to meet in the Martin House Library. It's much nicer in there. It's a smaller space. It's a little more intimate for prayer. But all are welcome who would like to come and join us as we pray for the needs of our church and our community and our country. Following morning prayers, we have our newly termed lunch bunch. It used to be soup and scripture, and before that, I think it was just Bible study. But we are the lunch bunch, and we come and enjoy some fellowship with one another as we eat. And then this year, so far, we're doing a book study with Barbara Brown Taylor's book, Always a Guest. And we encourage you to come. That is at noon on Mondays in Hollis Hall. And now, are there any other announcements for the good of all? Then, as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, the peace of Christ be with you all.
Thank you. Please stand for the call to worship. Heaven is declaring God's glory.
The sky is proclaiming His handiwork.
One day gushes the news to the next. Of course, there's no speech, no words. But their sound extends throughout the world. The Lord's judgments are true.
All these are righteous.
They are more desirable than gold, than tons of gold. And let us pray. God, you created the world through your word. Your word is powerful, and so are our words. They can heal, create a smile, be a declaration of love, but they can also hurt and destroy a sense of self-worth. Give us your wisdom, God of the word, so that as a church and as individuals, we use our words to build up and not to destroy. Amen. You may be seated. Let us use our voices to declare those things we have said and done that have separated us from God and from each other, that we may experience God's mercy and receive God's forgiveness. Praying first in silence. And together we pray. You have called us, O God, and we have refused to listen. You have stretched out your hand, and we have not taken it. We have taken what you have given us and used those gifts to hurt others and defy you. We have refused to be tamed by your wisdom. Forgive our inability to recognize you and live out the reality of your gospel. Give us the insight we need to understand your place in our lives so that our words and actions reflect the glory of God in the lives of others. In the name of the Messiah, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
law of the Lord is perfect, and it revives the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure and make wise the simple. The commandment of the Lord is clear, and it enlightens the eyes. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Be seated. And I'll invite our two children to come on forward. You all did much better than mine did this morning. They're not here today. We knew it was going to be a long day at church. So they're having some rest time with their grandparents that are visiting. How are y'all doing? Good. I love your headband, Hannah. It's very pretty. Hi, Haynes. How are you? Good. So today we are talking about words, lots and lots of words, and the kinds of words that we say and the kinds of words that we hear from each other and from other people. And so I have a question for you, as I always do. Tell me if you think that this statement is true or if it is not true. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Do you think that's true?
No.
No, you don't think it's true? What about you, Haynes? Do you think that's true? Sticks and stones can hurt, but not words? No, not true. Yeah, I don't think it's true either. I think sometimes words really do hurt. And so one of the things that I remember from being a middle school teacher is that they often would use their words to kind of get at each other. And they love to use the phrase, well, she made me mad, and so I said that. Almost as though the way that we feel excuses anything that might come out of our mouths, right? But the thing about words is that once they're out in the world, we don't get to take them back. We can't have people unhear them. And so what we're talking about today a little bit is that we are being careful with the words that we speak to one another. And instead of using our words to hurt each other or to try to get what we want or to get our way all the time, what do we like to use our words for?
To be kind.
To be kind, yes. You have wonderful children. You have wonderful children. Yes, to be kind and to be loving and to share joy with each other, right? Yeah. And so you two are already really good at that. But not everybody is, are they? Do sometimes people say things that kind of hurt your feelings? Yeah, I know I get that sometimes. Not very often anymore, but it happens. And even if they say sorry, does that make it feel better right away? Not always. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time, right? And so we can use our words to hurt each other, but we can also use our words to spread joy and love and kindness and happiness. And words can heal. Over time, when we use our kind words, they can heal some of that hurt. Will you pray with me? Loving God, sometimes we forget the power of our words. Help us to remember to use our words to spread kindness and love so that we may bring joy to everyone we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I'll see you this afternoon.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Listen for God's word. Wisdom shouts in the streets. In the public square, she raises her voice. Above the noisy crowd, she calls out. At the entrances of the city gates, she has her say. How long will you clueless people love your naivete? Mockers hold their mocking dear, and fools hate knowledge. You should respond when I correct you. Look, I'll pour out my spirit on you, and I'll reveal my words to you. I invited you, but you rejected me. I stretched out my hand to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored all my advice, and you didn't want me to correct you. So I'll laugh at your disaster. I'll make fun of you when dread comes over you. When terror hits you like a hurricane and your disaster comes in like a tornado, when distress and oppression overcome you, the immature will die because they turn away. Smugness will destroy fools. Those who obey me will dwell securely, untroubled by the dread of harm. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of James, chapter 3. Listen for God's word. My brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers, because we know that we teachers will be judged more strictly. We all make mistakes often, but those who don't make mistakes with their words have reached full maturity. Like a bridled horse, they can control themselves entirely. When we bridle horses and put bits in their mouths to lead them wherever we want, we can control their whole bodies. Consider ships. They are so large that strong winds are needed to drive them. But pilots direct their ships wherever they want with a little rudder. In the same way, even though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts wildly. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our third scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Mark, from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. Jesus and his disciples went into the villages near Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They told him, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "And what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then Jesus began to teach his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the legal experts, and be killed, and then after 3 days rise from the dead." He said this plainly, but Peter took hold of Jesus and, scolding him, began to correct him. Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, then sternly corrected Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking God's thoughts, but human thoughts." After calling the crowd together with his disciples, Jesus said to them, "All who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. All who want to save their lives will lose them, but all who lose their lives because of me and because of the good news will save them. Why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? What will people give in exchange for their lives? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this unfaithful and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he comes in the Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord. Words matter. I feel the weight of this every week as I'm writing my sermons. This Sunday marks the 11th time I have stood before you in this pulpit. If I'm counting correctly, I had preached only 9 or 10 times in my life, including the 3 times during my preaching class before my first Sunday with you. Plus, I had recycled a couple of those sermons, and so I figure I had probably written 6 or 7 sermons before my first Sunday here. I'll tell you that as I'm about to be installed as your official pastor for the foreseeable future, the irony is not lost on me that our passage from James says right off, not everyone should be teachers, because we are judged more strictly. Words matter. I struggle with this when trying to decide whether I should stick with the tried and true New Revised Standard Version or choose a different translation. At times I find myself researching the translation as much as it is as its possible implications for our lives. In seminary, the NRSV was always our go-to, and I love it. It's an academic, almost literal translation of the Greek and Hebrew texts, but the vocabulary is about 11th grade or higher, making it more difficult for younger readers. Today, I chose the Common English Bible translation, which is a step away from the NRSV. It still follows closely with the original texts, but in a thought-for-thought kind of way, rather than a word-for-word. And it's written at about a 7th grade reading level. Words matter. I feel this truth when I'm reading through the lectionary passages and deciding which ones cry out to me as needing to be heard. Most weeks, I try to select one from the Hebrew Bible and one from the New Testament. This week, I just couldn't narrow it down to 2. The passage from Proverbs is a continuation of our lesson from a few weeks ago on woman wisdom. And Mama clearly ain't happy. She has given good advice, told her children the right way to go, and yet they continue to stray from the path anyway. She's over it. Don't come crying to me when you get what's coming to you. You made your own bed. Then we have James, who clearly is speaking directly to me, reminding me to rein in my tongue before I put my foot in my mouth one more time. And with all that scolding and warning, I just had to let Peter have his say too. You are the Christ, he says. You are the Son of the living God. Beautiful, poignant. Then, of course, Peter steps in it once again, and Jesus responds, "Get behind me, Satan." Boy, can I relate to that. Words matter. What we speak into the silence cannot be unspoken. The words we use can tear people down or build people up. They can speak eternal truths or spawn ignorance and prejudice. Good intentions can be destroyed with poorly spoken words, and evil intentions can be disguised with sweet promises. James tells us that our tongues, our words, can steer us like the rudder of a ship. It is such a small part of the whole. Lost my spot. It is such a small part of the whole, but it can keep our course steady or crash us into an iceberg. Self-help books, personal development seminars, and life coaching programs often start with changing the words that we say about ourselves. Classrooms have flip the script posters that say, instead of "I can't," say "I can." Instead of "it's too hard," say "I can try harder." Instead of "I failed," say "I am one step closer to finding a solution," and the list goes on. As important as it is to teach our children and each other about using our words to lift up our neighbors and loved ones, we too often forget to speak to ourselves with kindness and gentleness. We know that we are flawed, so we try to be gracious with others' flaws. We know that we are weak, so we try to be patient with others' weaknesses. Well, most of us do. We've all encountered people who take their own insecurities and attack others to try to make themselves feel better. Words matter. The words we tell others, the words we tell ourselves, and the words spoken by bullies that we internalize. Jesus adds his warning alongside James and Woman Wisdom. He says that if we are ashamed of his words, then on the day of judgment, he will be ashamed of us. He tells us rather to take up our crosses and follow him. Each of us carries a cross of some kind. It threatens to tear us down. Its weight seems too heavy to bear at times. Too often, our crosses were built with the words we hear and the words that we speak. I'll end today's short message, because as I said, you're all coming back again this afternoon. I'll end today's message with the lyrics to a song by one of my all-time favorite artists, Lauren Daigle. She speaks her words to God in a time of desperation, and then she absorbs the words that God speaks to us all. I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I'm weak. And you say I am held when I am falling short, and when I don't belong, you say I am yours, and I believe. Oh, I believe what you say of me. May we heed the words of woman wisdom so we may live securely, untroubled by fear of harm. May we learn to control our tongues so that the rudder that steers our actions remains on course. May we use our words to spread joy and peace so that others may come to know that Christ through the love we share. And may we speak words of hope to our own hearts so that when we see the face of our Savior on that glorious day, we may hear his words. Well done, child. Welcome home. Amen. Please join me as we affirm our faith together. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being born in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue should confess to the glory of God. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, let us pray together. God of love, you have your only Son so that he would undergo great suffering for our sake. Seeing this great suffering, we believe that you understand the sufferings of this world and our own suffering. Believing that you have walked in our footsteps and that you have lived through trials and tribulations, we offer our prayers to you for those who face difficult decisions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those who have received bad news or a scary diagnosis, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those recovering from surgeries or accidents or undergoing physical therapy, Lord, in your mercy. For those facing divorce or living through a season of struggle in their relationships, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those who live with food insecurity and who struggle to pay their bills each month, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those who are unhoused, Lord, in your mercy. For those living in war-torn lands, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for wisdom that we can communicate effectively with love, shalom, and compassion, and that we may strive to live in connectedness and understanding. We pray for courage so that we can live out our faith, giving witness with our words and actions that you are the Messiah. We pray for the will to take up the crosses we bear and follow wherever you may lead. And we pray for love, your love in us, so that we can live with the intentionality to know each other by name and have the deep relationships that you want us to have with you and with each other. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, God has given us the Son and made us stewards of all creation. God has given us our lives and our very beings. Let us give to God from what God has given to us. us pray. God of wisdom, may this offering serve as a powerful witness to this world in need. Guide us as we administer the gifts that you have given us for the building of your kingdom. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, God has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Therefore, go out into the world in peace. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And know that the strong, sure love of God, the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the intimate, renewing presence of the Holy Spirit will be with you now and always. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.